All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. Our next guest is Isaac Luria from J Street, the pro-peace Israel lobby in Washington, D.C. How's it going, Isaac?
Going great. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today. Well, lots of stuff in the news in terms of Middle East policy and the Israel lobby in the United States. I guess we could talk about sanctions, we could talk about East Jerusalem, we could talk about Representative Ross Lightning and her efforts to kick the Palestinian Authority out of the United States. What do you think? You pick.
Well, let's start with Ross Lightning, because I think it's an important indication of some of what J Street's been up to in the last little while. We are right now asking our 150,000 supporters online to take action with us in opposing a letter that Representative Ilana Ross-Leighton is circulating now for signatures. The letter actually calls to kick the Palestinian diplomatic representation that they have here in the United States out of the country. And this is, I mean, it's just a wild idea, one that is so far out of the mainstream when it comes to folks who really care about achieving a peace in the region that will secure Israel's future, be, you know, the right thing to do by the Palestinians and solve American, you know, help advance American interests in the region. So, you know, we are really pushing back on this letter. I think it is just a really difficult thing to see happen on Capitol Hill. And I can just imagine, you know, Israelis and Palestinians are trying to come to direct talks now in the region. The U.S. is, you know, Mitchell, his team, Secretary Clinton, President Obama are doing what they can to get this train moving on the right track. And these sorts of firebombs get thrown from Congress, and it's really unhelpful. And I hope that, you know, people will join us, come to our website, jstreet.org, and fight back against this sort of fear-mongering. Because we do need a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and stuff like this really sets that back.
Mm. Well, you know, it seems like a lot of the, you know, pro-right-wing, pro-Likud kind of argument in America is based around the idea that to give up the West Bank is to destroy Israel forever. They want us all just destroyed forever. And kind of just, you know, completely conflating the 48 borders with the 67 ones, or even the 45 borders with the 67 ones. It seems like the whole argument kind of takes place maybe deliberately detached from reality. To believe in this, you have to just believe in it, and this is our
right
line, and we're sticking to it.
Right, and I think that's exactly what J Street was founded to change. There is this idea that being pro-Israel means marching in lockstep with a particular Israeli government's policy. There are some things that Benjamin Netanyahu has done that I think is a good thing, but I think overall we have to be doing what we can to advance the peace process. It is so urgently needed. As a pro-Israel American, as Zionist, I believe that this is the only way that Israel's ever going to be secure, and that means sharing the land with the Palestinians, finding a way to divide the biblical land of Israel into a state for the Palestinians and a state for the Israelis. And that is, for me, the fulfillment of the Zionist idea. If we believe that Jews should be able to determine their own fate in a country of their own, we must also believe that another people, the Palestinians, should be able to determine their own fate in a country of their own as well. That is my version of what it means to be pro-Israel, and that's what J Street's trying to advance on Capitol Hill and with the administration.
Geez, sounds like they're coming for you, Isaac.
You know, I think it's one of these issues that is just considered a third rail in American politics. I think we're prying open the space. We have to. There's no other way to approach this issue than by mounting an aggressive political campaign to change hearts and minds on Capitol Hill and in the American Jewish community. So I think we're having some success. It is an incredibly difficult issue, a hot-button issue, so we have a lot more to do to make that work. And, you know, every time and I say this to the staff, I say this to friends of mine and supporters of J Street, that every time we are attacked by the right people, and I mean the folks on the other side of the aisle, when it comes to being pro-Israel, that they make us stronger, that they show that they do only want one way of being pro-Israel there's only one way to be pro-Israel in the American Jewish community or on Capitol Hill. So it proves our point. And we have the ability then to turn that into new supporters, into money for candidates that we support, and the like.
Right on. Yeah, well, that's certainly true. I mean, it has seemed for a long time as though there's just the one line, but I think more and more people are understanding at least that there is an argument that the policies of the Israeli government and the policies of the pro-Israeli government forces in America are really bad for Israel over the long term if you want Israel to exist under the parameters as you just said. Now me, I'm a kind of Declaration of Independence sort of guy, and I don't think race or religion matter, but then again, that's a kind of newfangled Western American idea, and you know, racial and ethnic division, religious division by border is the symptom of the way the old world works, I guess. You know, I wouldn't try to insist on overthrowing all that, I guess. But but then again, you know, it's kind of funny. I saw Avigdor Lieberman, who is, well, you can characterize him however you want, but I guess it's at least just fair to say is a very right-wing nationalist and is the foreign minister there of Israel. He was actually talking more like what I would think would be the idea, not that I would trust him to implement it my way or anything, but he was saying what we ought to have is just a one-state solution and equal rights for everyone, and why should it be a division of Jewish and versus Christian and Muslim for the land instead of just, you know, the Bill of Rights for everybody.
Well, I think that is, you know, that's just not where J Street comes down. We believe that a two-state solution is the solution. I actually don't believe that any sort of one-state scenario is going to lead to peace. I think that it's the sort of scenario that will actually end up with more violence. We will see. I call it a one-state delusion because I think that when people support it, that what they're actually going to result in, I think that people come at this in a, you know, they want to try and grapple with this issue. They're trying to come up with the right answer. But I do think it's important to say that we would be consigning the region to, and especially the Israelis and Palestinians, to a 40-year, 50-year, Kosovo-style, low-grade conflict that will claim many more lives and destabilize the region further. And second, as a pro-Israel American, as somebody who believes in that there needs to be a Jewish homeland, that Israel is that homeland and we've got to secure it, and that means borders. And that means that the character of the state would be defined by its citizens, which would be majority Jewish in the context of a two-state solution. So I understand the one-state movement, and, you know, you see it also popping up, as you said, you know, from right-wing politicians in Israel. But I think that it's a mistake. I think that that's the sort of rethinking of the last 20 years of policy that could get us down a very, very difficult and dangerous path, not just for Israel, but for everybody in the region.
What do you think Lieberman is up to trying to agree with me about something? Doesn't seem right.
You know, I think that Lieberman is a character in Israeli politics that is very difficult to handle for many American Jews. What we see in Israel and what we believe is good about Israel is that it's a democracy, that it's representative of the values that we hold dear, that, you know, we share enemies in terrorism, that setup of a values-based relationship, you know, a strategic relationship as well between the U.S. and Israel, but in particular a values-based relationship, that whole idea is called into question by people like Avigdor Lieberman, who don't have the same view of what it means to be in a democracy. I mean, it once
right,
instead...
I'm sorry, hold it right there, Isaac. We got to go out and take this break. Y'all go look at jstreet.org, the pro-peace Israel lobby in D.C. We'll be right back with Isaac Lurie after this.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Can't stand it for another day.
All right, so we're on the phone with Isaac Luria from J Street. JStreet.org is the website. And when we were so rudely interrupted by the commercial break there, Isaac, we were talking about Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's Lieberman. And he's the foreign minister there, and you were arguing that he's so right-wing and nationalist in his policies and proposals and ways of doing things that he's delegitimizing the argument that Israel is a democracy and therefore a natural ally of the United States. And that is of concern to you guys at J Street.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Avigdor Lieberman's view of what Israel should be, will be, is not mine. He does not see the beauty, I don't think, of the Declaration of Independence of Israel that pledged to respect and honor the rights of all people living within the borders of the state. And so I think that this is just one of those issues in which J Street just disagrees with the way that Avigdor Lieberman approaches what it means to have a state of Israel and a state with a Jewish majority. And I think that there is a key difference here. And I am worried about the pull of politicians like him inside Israel and what that means for a strong U.S.-Israel relationship. When Americans see a politician that really represents the antithesis of their values when it comes to democracy, when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to rights of minorities, it just doesn't sit well, and it should be rejected. And I think what we're trying to do is really mount a what I would call a last-ditch effort to save Israel from the brink of losing its democratic nature. And that's why we're supporting President Obama's push for a two-state solution. And this is, I think, just given the political calendar and given the trends in both Palestinian and Israeli society, one of the last times that we're really going to be able to push hard for a two-state solution and secure Israel's future as a Jewish democratic home.
Well, you know, I wonder how much all this, you know, we are talking about Benjamin Netanyahu's government here, and, you know, I'm sure you remember the clean break strategy that was written up by the American neocons, Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and David Wolmser, and what they said was, at least part of it is what he did, was, you know, disrupt, basically sabotage the Oslo peace deal. And then they carried out the rest of it, getting America to invade Iraq, which was supposed to get this, weaken Iran, which I think is hilarious. But, you know, I wonder whether you think it's possible for Israel to ever have an about-face on this policy of, you know, the larger regional policy of we will just be stronger than everyone forever and dominate them and they won't dare try to oppose us forever rather than trying to make friends with everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, America can only bribe Egypt to pretend not to hate Israel for so long. What if Mubarak died? You know?
Well, I think that is the question that's on the table right now. Whether or not Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to take this opportunity and really pursue it. There are some encouraging signs in the last few weeks. I know this sounds odd to hear from a J Street representative, but I think that there have been real encouraging signs from Bibi Netanyahu recently. He made a statement to a gathering of American Jewish leaders in New York on the issue of Jerusalem, which, as you probably know, is one of the key stumbling blocks when it comes to the peace process. What do we do about Jerusalem? How do we share it? Who gets the Palestinian neighborhoods in East Jerusalem? Who gets the Jewish neighborhoods in West Jerusalem? And what happens to the holy sites in the old city? But on that issue, the prime minister, when asked whether or not, in the context of a two-state solution agreement, would Jerusalem remain united, which is a code language for would Jerusalem remain under Israeli control entirely, including Palestinian neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, which is a non-starter with the Palestinians and probably a non-starter with the two-state solution as well, assuredly a non-starter. But he didn't answer in the way that anybody had expected. He said, oh, you know, of course there are Palestinian neighborhoods that might end up as part of East Jerusalem, which is a very different answer than he's ever given on Jerusalem. Totally different, seemed like a change. And then, you know, you watch to see if the Prime Minister's Bureau is going to deny it, and they didn't. Usually those denials happen very quickly, and this one was not denied. So my view is that the jury is still out. It's not yet decided whether or not Beebe is the right man for the job. I think that he has an opportunity to make history, that he is going to need to understand that this is the last great window to do it, with President Obama in the White House, with Abbas and Fayyad in charge in the West Bank. So it remains to be seen. I am hoping, and J-Street will be pushing this Israeli government in ways that we can from America to take this opportunity and pursue it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I guess you imply there when you say, you know, kind of last chance, last window, opportunity kind of thing, language there, that, you know, after this, then what? Israel will be doomed to a one-state solution, right? I mean, it seems like a major question is, can or even will the Israeli army, if ordered, remove settlers from the West Bank, which is already divided up into such tiny little pieces that you can't make a state there without undoing the massive settlements that are crisscrossing the place? All
right,
highways
and
walls.
You're right that many settlements will have to be evacuated in order to make this two-state solution work. The question of what happens next, I think, is a very difficult one. I think that things are going to move. There's going to be a lot more drama before we have any sort of answer to that. But I'm, you know, focused on this goal, which is in the next 6 months, are we going to see progress? If we don't see progress in the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months, I think we're in a very dangerous spiral. So the key is the American government. Where are they going to be able to have the political will behind their effort to make peace? And I think that that is also a question now that J Street is faced with, and that's what our role is to create that political space so that President Obama will be able to do what's necessary to bring the parties to the table, to propose compromise solutions, and to push when necessary to get both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis, to agree to the two-state solution based along what they almost agreed to in the 90s and 2000s.
All right, now we're very short on time here. Oh, that's the bumper music already playing. So just really quickly, kind of yes or no. Are we nearing the day when J Street has as much authority on Capitol Hill as AIPAC?
We are doing what we can to fight back against all kinds of folks on the right. I wouldn't put AIPAC as the only one. There are lots of them. And we're building.
Everybody, that's Isaac Luria at J Street.
Thanks so much. Join us at jstreet.org.